Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Alicia and Principal Maris on Head of the Class on HBO Max, played by Isabella Gomez, and I don't know what the other one's name is, but I see it for them. It's like the Alicia's character is always trying to get her approval and get close to her and get in good with her daughter. I mean, you know what that means.
Yeah, she's trying to be stepmom.
And, you know, hopefully they go there, but let's be honest, they're not gonna.
No, it's not happening. Only in our minds.
What up, Corona?
What's poppin', Chingon?
Chingon? Yeah, we have Chingon. Been Chingon for a while.
Chingon. Yo, like, yeah. I feel like actually a lot of like things have come out that I'm talking about like in the last weekend that I want to talk about.
Really?
Like Encanto came out and I do want to talk about that a little bit.
You saw it eventually already?
No. I'm saying did it already come out or is
I don't
it gonna
know.
Come out?
I'm not.
I don't know either.
I honestly thought it had been out for a while.
Really?
I don't know. Oh my god. Don't trust me on that.
I'm trying to think. I feel like I was going to go to the movies for some reason, but now.
Oh yeah. I saw it on the movie list. Yeah, I think it is out.
Yeah. And I think Spencer I wanted to watch, but Thanksgiving got in the way.
That was a weird movie.
I heard it was a thriller.
It was a little bit of a fever dream type of movie. You know what I'm talking about? Like the ones where it kind of feels like you're just like losing your mind along with a character.
Oh Lord, I love those movies.
That makes one of us. Speaking of mm-hmm. Kristen Stewart, sorry to her character on Happiest Season, because Gen Z has declared side parts and blonde hair chuggy, so it's over for her and for me.
Oh no, yeah, you're blonde.
Not anymore, I'm wearing hats from now on.
Oh, you're gonna hide it now. Oh, really? Being blonde?
No more. Yeah, apparently. Even though it's like, what are you like? You're ostracizing way too many people.
Yeah, I'm not giving up my side part, and I look like a lesbian coach, which, you know, no offense to that aesthetic, it's actually very like 90s lesbian coach. Actually, I look like the adopted mother, I think, from like the Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen movie. You know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about like Parent Trap?
Yes, Parent Trap.
She wasn't the adopted mother, she was like
no
nanny or something.
Yeah, I think she was the nanny or she was like the camp counselor, but it was the one with Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Wait, they're both in? No, I'm thinking about something
it's
completely
a different one.
Else. I'm
I
thinking about Lindsay Lohan.
Like It Takes Two. Yeah, you're thinking of Lindsay Lohan. I think I'm thinking about It Takes Two, which is like, it's giving very like 90s lesbian like mom vibes. And I'm like,
oh, I have no idea what you're talking about.
That is the opposite of the vibe I want to give off. I'll send you a picture. I'll see if I can find it on Twitter. But like, I literally look like that with straight leg jeans. And I'm just like, I can't do this. Like, I'm not
with
cool.
Straight
I don't
jeans.
Care. I can't do it. Like, you know, I straight up actually look like a mother.
Since I've been converted away from skinny jeans, it's actually mm-hmm. like changed my life for the better. Like, no longer am I mm-hmm. restricted. Like, it's just great. It's actually been really great. I don't go for like the full straight boot mm-hmm. cut type of leg. Like, there's a bit of
the flare.
Bit of a, yeah, I'm not doing all that. But there's a bit of a taper. But you know, I'm not full skinny jeans anymore either. So it's nice. I can walk, can run in jeans again. Like, it's great.
Yeah, no. I mean, I guess I'm just gonna be chuggy because I don't know. I feel like every time that there's like some kind of generational divide, I think that like doesn't apply to people of color, because I'm just like, yeah, no, we don't have stuff like that. We just like, either you're old and you've lived a long life, or you're just figuring it out like everyone else. Like, because you know, the hood has like all types of variety. Like, It was never like, oh, you're Chugi. It's just like, oh, you're old. You know, like,
you know what really got to me, though, was like the Facebook memes about like what all straight like couples look like, that all like the Mexican couples. And it's like the guys, they all look like Shrek with a beard. And then the women, they all look like Fiona with skinny jeans. You know what I'm talking about? When I saw that, I was like, you know what? I'm not a millennial mom yet. I'm not a millennial mom yet. I can't do this. I can't. It really pushed me over the edge.
But it's so like on point, though. Like, isn't that like
that's exactly what they look like. That's like that's my brother. Is that
yeah,
my brother really looks like Shrek with a beard. Like, anyways,
yeah, no, like, and like she has the bag and like
the MK probably.
Ooh, no. Yes, dude. But I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the hood has like different things, because like actually you could probably get made fun of for dressing like too Gen Z in the hood, you know, like the hood doesn't have the same rules as everyone else. It's like,
yeah,
it's yeah, different.
Absolutely. I like when I see myself dressing the way I dress in Texas versus like here in LA, it's like fish out of water over there. It's a little scary.
Yeah, the vibe here is very much like, I don't know, what are they wearing? Those like weird ugly shoes, those cloud tech shoes. I don't know what kind of, those weird mom shoes and like hunting clothes. So
puro camo and
yeah.
Those, like, and then the ones, and then you go like a little further north and they're all dressing like they're like rip off Silicon Valley dudes with vests. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And you know, shout out Patagonia, because they cut out all their like corporate contracts with all of the tech bros and said, no, we're not giving you shit anymore. You guys are gross. We don't align with y'all, don't align with our values. Like, deadass, they cut out all their contracts with tech bros just because they didn't want them to be wearing, they didn't want Patagonia to be associated with tech bros.
With Valley Bros. Fuck y'all. Interesting.
And I was like, no, Patagonia is great, dude. Like, if you...
I always wanted a Patagonia jacket. I asked for one year. My mom got me a North Face jacket. So...
The disrespect. So you know, here they I pay am. Their child labor. They pay their child labor a fair wage.
Oh, okay. I was just like...
That's important. You know, Nike doesn't. They give them, like, probably... They rip these people off. I feel like... Patagonia, like, I did a study in college, like, they actually pay their people correctly, even if it is child labor, which of course it is. They at least pay them a fair
this
wage.
This is a paid ad by Patagonia.
They don't even like pay for that
for your Christmas shopping this December.
This December, go get Patagonia
coming to like, a North Park mall near you.
Yeah, they open their own. Anyways, this is really becoming an ad. Yo, Patagonia,
pay me, you know, send us free merch, please.
Send
my
us
mom
free
never
merch.
Gave me that jacket.
Damn, dude, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
You can do it for yourself.
Really warm.
You can do this for yourself.
I can't because I just bought myself an A24 sweater. I don't know why I did that.
What? But you're an A24 bro now?
I'm an A24 bro. I've reached a new fucking level. Anyways, catch me.
I'm
in
a Criterion bro, so I'm right there with you. Right there with you. God. If you need the login, let me know.
That's hilarious.
I'll send it to you. Yeah. But anyways, as we were talking about Head of the Class, what do you think?
It's a sitcom. Like, it's yes. A sitcom through and through. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you. Of course, I love seeing Isabella Gomez on TV again. Yes. But it's such a sitcom.
Playing her age. She's
playing
her
age. That was kind of refreshing, right? Like, seeing
it's
someone,
really nice.
Like, you know, in their 20s playing an in their 20s-year-old. So that was cool.
What a concept.
Yeah.
Everyone looked age appropriate. I was like, what is happening?
But it reminds me of those TikToks where it's like young teachers or teachers in their 20s where they're walking through the hall of their school and like they have other older teachers being like, where's your hall pass? He's like, I'm a teacher. And they just have to keep screaming it.
Yes. Like that never happens in like Euphoria. Like I'm like, come on, y'all. Like let's keep it real. There's like
they don't even wear clothes in that show. Yeah. Oh, speaking of, it's come back in January. Very exciting.
I'm hype.
It's been almost 2 years.
I'm hyped to watch Skins Volume 3 of the American version.
Volume 2, actually, but yeah.
Oh, no, it's because I'm counting the actual American Skins, the horrible remake they made. That's Volume 2. Volume 3 is like
you're
Euphoria,
counting
which
that?
I have to because it was so horrible.
It was the worst. Euphoria is good.
all for all the wrong reasons. Like,
it's bad, but it's good.
It's bad. But I'm like, oh my god, like I'm hyped for Euphoria coming back. God, I don't know. Oh, Insecure is ending. I know you don't watch that as much, but Awkward Black Girl,
I need to. Yeah, I need to catch up on it. Just binge it one of these days.
Oh yeah, and you're gonna be like Team Lawrence or Team Issa. Like, really, you're gonna find out.
I
mean, where
I've never been like not Team Issa, but I was a little Team Lawrence-y for a bit.
You know, I was Team Lawrence until very recently, until I was like, no, Lawrence, no, fuck you, Lawrence, I don't claim you, all men suck, you know, but before that, it was definitely me, just, it was very personal for me, so that's all right. I was Team Lawrence, but, yeah, no, I love Insecure, and then, have you been watching Succession?
I have been watching Succession, this has been my favorite season.
Right?
It's been so funny, like, I don't know, just watching
I'm a sturdy birdie.
I don't know if something finally clicked or what it is, but like everything they fucking say is hilarious to me now.
I think it's because like no one really knew that it was just Arrested Development from the jump, but with like like a different tone, but it's exactly Arrested Development, just like a better budget, I guess, like high budget Arrested Development. That's all.
Yeah, it's I don't even know how to describe it. It's literally just like. Just seeing them be so fucking ridiculous. Like, I guess I've just gotten to the point where it's almost like when you're at work and you hate these fucking people and then, like, you take some time off and then you come back and then you're like, you know what? These people are fucking funny.
Yeah, they're entertaining. You're just like, fuck it, I'm here. I'm gonna laugh at y'all.
You're like, this is a wild ride. Yeah. So, it's a mess. I have been watching and, yeah, it's one of the few shows that, like, I'm not, like, so interested in the people or the plot line that I'm, like, pissed when I have to wait for the next week. Like, I'm fine watching that one episode and laughing at them and then coming back next week.
Yeah, it's fun to watch white people shit, just like their own drama and their bullshit. You're just like, wow, like this is so like different from my experience.
I could never understand this. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, oh no, like
the Twitter stuff is getting to me this season, like the just desperately being like, okay, what's the mood like on Twitter, what are they saying? Do they think I'm funny? I want to be like really funny on Twitter.
Oh my god. Yeah, you can tell that they have a lot of writers that are on Twitter.
Yeah.
And
it's a very Twitter show.
It's a Twitter show. And I mean, it's great because like, I mean, Twitter has all the memes. Like, it's fun. It's a fun experience to watch something in a group on the internet. So
as a group just, reacting like, and being upset about things. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I think Insecure really works, is because its fan base is very interactive online. So I'm like, I think Succession is too, but I don't follow.
You don't follow the right audience for it.
I follow all the people that watch Insecure. I don't really follow the people that watch Succession, but I'm cool laughing at their mess. But I'm trying to think of what else is coming back that I'm hype on. I'm like,
oh, I know something is coming back.
What?
Functional next week.
Oh shit. And yeah. is someone on this podcast, will we see them?
No, not next week, but probably at some point in the next couple of months. I'm not sure how the release is gonna be, but the season premiere is on Friday, December 10th, and they're having like an in-person one. There's tickets available and stuff if you guys are in LA, so that should be
LA. Come on y'all, come through.
Yeah, so keep an eye out. That'll be out soon, and I won't be in most of the episodes, but I will be in a episode, and I will have worked on all the episodes, so support your girl.
Support your girl, y'all. Show up and show out December 10th, also the same day twice. Tickets go on sale, and I don't know y'all that day. It is, you know, we are not a team, you know, it's me, not we, it's me against all of you hoes, and I'm trying to get as close as possible to see all of my girls and do all the dances with them, and y'all can dance with me, but y'all are not gonna, no, y'all ain't finna do no BTS shit. Anyways, oh my god, yeah, it's war on December 10th, okay, because I get my bonus 3 days before and it's going down, okay. I have no money but to buy the Twice tickets, okay. Everything else is going straight to bills and me being an adult, but I don't know why I'm doing all of this TMI right now, but anyways.
Yeah,
yeah,
you guys probably missed it because you're not on our Patreon, but we've been talking about the last couple of Patreons about all these Apple TV shows that have kind of got our interest right now. Most of them are returning. Dickinson and The Morning Show are both returning, but those have got my little Friday heart. As well as Acapulco, really fucking randomly, there's a new show called Acapulco on Apple TV that is that bitch for some fucking reason. Out of nowhere, a little fucking underdog just came up and knocked him out. So check that out at some point. I feel like I'm going to cover that show.
Cool. Maybe we can pair it with Encanto. Like,
come on, Latinx.
Yeah, that's what we do sometimes.
Oh, sure, that's what our name is about.
Yeah,
but yeah, happy I know this will be one day late for you guys, but happy Spotify Wrapped Day.
Hey, Spotify Wrapped Day was good. I hope y'all celebrated by laughing at everybody's like top whatever.
Leave so me Pop alone Queen? Just because I love Bad Bunny.
You know, I finally made it. He's out of my top five. No. So is Drake. So is Taylor Swift. I feel like
Drake was never in mine, thank the gods.
Oh, he's so lucky. I'm so glad his gross ass is off my list. I don't even think he's on my entire like playlist for Spotify Rap. Thank
he's
you,
never been on anything of mine, so I have that to brag about.
I you know, I'm nostalgic for an era in my life that was Drake was playing a lot of, like, in the background of my life, and that's I still only listen to that Drake, but, you know, gross. I don't like him. I hope he gets exposed for being a creeper. I mean, he did, and literally nothing happened, but y'all are weird.
Yeah.
Just don't listen to Drake 2021 or whatever. But anyways, yeah, I'm a pop girl too now. What's good?
Okay, K-pop doesn't count, but...
did you see my list? It was all women, all pop girlies. I was like, yes, nice. I made it. Ariana Grande is on here now. Like, Tinashe is on here, and two other pop girls. So I felt good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finally a pop girl.
Yeah.
It's good.
Nice.
Gang.
I think most of my genres were pop except for emo. Apparently emo made it onto my list.
Emo's like a real genre?
It's a genre. Yeah.
Wow. It's being recognized now. I guess so.
But yeah, sorry we've been gone. We're back.
We're back, y'all.
Hopefully we'll see.
There just like has to be things coming out, y'all. And like
complete things, you know, like not returning things, and yeah, this just we're gonna try it. I'll see what I can do.
Okay, yeah, because it's harder on your end right now. I feel like there's like Encanto for me and like what we're gonna talk about today, and
every single time you say Encanto, all I can think about is a little girl on TikTok where it's like, ¿te gusta la tequila? A mí no me gusta, a mí me encanta.
Me encanta. What? I've never seen that. You gotta
what?
Say that. I think I'm just on a deranged K-pop
stan. That shit is so
TikTok.
Funny. I don't know that I would be able to find that for you, but good luck on links.
No, that's yeah, I'll just probably put like me encanta and maybe
me encanta.
It'll pop up. A mí me encanta. But yeah, so we gotta find things because I don't know.
I mean, Christmas movie season is coming up and there's two lesbian movies and one gay movie that we could try and take ganders at. So we'll see, guys.
Well, I'll watch it. I'll watch anything with a gay person in it. You know that. Mm-hmm. And I don't even, and I'm pretty nice to Christmas movies because it's like if you tried, you get a like B for effort, you know, like if you try.
Throw us some recommendations, if not in like on our Instagram CYC podcast or Twitter CYC podcast. Most, you know, most appreciated would be in a comment on iTunes podcast, in a review, a 5-star review. Yes. You know, you can give that a go. Probably look at that.
You know, 5-star review on iTunes specifically.
Pacifically.
If we didn't make your Spotify Wrapped, I know it's because you listen to us on iTunes.
On iTunes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Dude, there was zero. I listened to apparently zero podcasts on Spotify this year, which is wild. I only listen to them on the podcast app.
Damn. Yeah, most people listen to it on the podcast app.
Yeah, like 90% of our audience.
I listen to our podcast on Audio Boom.
Right. Well, yeah, that's because you have exclusive access to an early
episode. Yes, I have exclusive early access. VIP only. But yeah, that's different. But yeah, so shout out to Spotify Wrapped if we made it to your list. I know it's because we're on your iTunes instead. It's fine.
Yeah, your iTunes podcast wrapped. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, do that one too. Fuck it. No, but Lord, what are we going to be talking about today, Micah?
Today, we are talking about... Well, I'm talking about a show called Sort Of, which is how I feel about my whole life right now. Like, yeah, sort of.
Sort of. oh my God.
It's on HBO Max. And what are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about Passing. It's on Netflix. And I love a good movie about repression. So
about some wild desires.
Wild yeah. desires. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. I'm fucking ready for it. Do you want to go chronological?
Which one's chronologically first?
I'm pretty sure Passing is first.
Cool, let's do that
technically,
shit.
Technically, yeah. All right, let's do it.
Okay, so I'm super hyped to talk about this because I've been obsessed with this book since I was like 18. I never thought it would be adapted into a movie. And I think it feels kind of like a novel that shouldn't and maybe couldn't be adapted, but shout out to writer and director Rebecca Hall, because she read this book and then found out she had like a personal connection to the book. The book is about two Black women that are passing, and by passing they mean by racially passing. It's like a term they use for Black women who were light-skinned enough to pass into the white world. So it has like an interesting time period because it was set during like 1920s Harlem, and this book was kind of left out of, or I don't know if it was left out of like the Harlem Renaissance movement of literature, but she did kind of come late towards the end of that movement. But it's kind of like a really random one-off book that's really beautifully written by Nella Larson. And just a little fun fact about her before I get into the movie is I want to talk about the book a little bit, because I feel like the book itself isn't maybe as widely spoken about, heard about, read, acknowledged, but I think it's really important, like, cultural touchstone, not just because of the subject matter. She's talking about these Black women passing into this white world in 1920s America, which there's incredible stigma from both sides to be doing that, and then the historical context of that, like, just these women risking their lives and the realities of these lives that they're risking. There's It's just so much there. It's so heavy. But at the same time, I think it's so, like, people don't really talk about it outside of maybe, like, people that are not white circles, you know? So I feel like bringing it to the mainstream, to, like, mainstream white America. Well, and I don't even know if they're going to watch this, but they should. I think that's a really important thing to do. So shout out to Rebecca Hall for adapting this novel. And shout out to Nell Larson, who I think was actually, like, a closeted queer person. Because she, a little fact about her is that she lived, I think, most of her life with another woman, and she was working, she was kind of, like, independent outside of this, like, needing men kind of world, you know? She worked for herself, and she lived with a woman for most of her life, and I think a lot of the book is about repressing queerness, and she writes about it so beautifully to me, that I think it's something like queer people can see. It's something queer people pick up. It's like queer coded in a way that I don't think straight people really get it. Even if they read the novel, or maybe if they're even watching the movie, it's there, but you kind of can't really make sense of it. It's just like a queer coded language we speak to each other. So I think that's really interesting and really hard to show on screen, because a lot of like queer coded things is more about like a vibe. It's not really a look, you know, like it's your energy and the way you carry yourself. It's very like, you know, we're like super spies. Like we see another queer person from like a mile away that like a straight person wouldn't be like, no, they're not gay. And I'm like, no, they're gay as fuck. But you know, they're not looking for the same things that we're looking for, you know, the subtlety. So I think it's really hard to do that. And I think Rebecca Hall, I think Tessa Thompson, and I think Ruth Negga did incredible in this movie. But I understand that I have a biased view of the movie because of my understanding of the book. Now, I know you didn't read the book, but you did watch the movie. We'll get into your point of view a little bit later, because I think that's an interesting perspective versus mine, because like, of course I'm biased, right? So you're gonna have a different opinion of that, but I'm just gonna give y'all a breakdown of what the movie's about. It's about two women that were high school friends, childhood friends, and they rekindle their friendship later on in life. And Ruth Negga plays a light-skinned black woman who is married to a white man who's obviously a racist bigot, because it's 1920s like America. So he has no idea he's married to a black woman, and he has no idea that his wife is like friends with another black woman, Tessa Thompson. Yeah, so, and they rekindle their friendship, and what you're finding out when they rekindle this friendship is that while Ruth Negga's character, Clara Kendry, is passing as a white woman, at the same time, her friend, her best friend, Tessa Thompson, who is, I've read this so many times, but Irene, she's passing as Irene, this, like, Reenie, dear. She's passing as, like, this perfect little housewife who seems, like, happy being a mother, happy being a wife, happy not working. I think her character is actually, Tessa Thompson's character, Irene, is actually the most interesting character in the novel and in the movie, because she's spending most of the movie kind of convincing herself that she's happy and projecting onto her husband all her own ideas of her life and her own happiness. And I love this, like, deranged character. I love that she's absolutely bonkers, does not realize it. She is, like, what do they call it? Like, an unreliable narrator. Like, she's definitely, like, I don't know. I love everything about this character, because as you're going through the movie, at first in the book, you find it, I see it as automatically, like, there's some kind of, like, desire there. There's some kind of, like, obsession with the other, and not just because of, like, her whiteness, because she does kind of obsess in the book about her fair skin and all this shit, but at the same time she's also obsessed with this woman because she's, I think, living the life she wants to lead, but at the same time there's more there. There's, like, this underlying actual desire between both of them, and it's very, like, sensual between them. Even when you don't think it should be, it's just, like, unnecessarily, like, there's energy and it's supercharged in the book and in the movie. I was, like, looking for it, and I was like, it's there, there's a glimpse, there's another glimpse. But I got really excited, and the ending is nuts. I'm not going to talk about it on here, but what did you think, Maitha?
I didn't expect the ending at all. I'm gonna, like, not let me not even go there. I actually, you know, watching it, I don't know what I was expecting. I think I was either expecting that it was gonna be way more overtly queer or mm-hmm. way less, like, one or the other. And to me, it was kind of more of a middle point than I expected. Because, yeah, like, you can, like, a lot of it, it's silence, a lot of it is, like, looks and double entendres, like, just all over the place, right? Even passing, because passing to me, like, passing felt like a double entendre of, like, it's not only talking about them passing as white, it's them passing as straight, and then passing as happy, then passing as all these, as friends, you know, like,
besties.
Yeah, as homies. It's interesting. I think obviously I haven't read the book, so I don't know how much they pulled off, but to me they pulled off, like, the queer aspect of it, and, like, the projecting that
Irene does to her husband.
It's like the whole, like, she's literally talking about herself. Like, you're talking about you right now. I thought it was great. I mean, in that aspect, and just, like, all the parts where she's just, like, I don't know, everything, where she's mad, where she's, like the parts where there's, like, one part where the husband is, like, reading a letter that Claire wrote to Irene. Oof. And she's, like, you know, he's reading it one way. He's reading it, like, oh, this woman, and he's blaming you for, you know, what she's missing out on. Because what Claire is going through is that she's completely assimilated into a white society, whereas Irene chose the other side, which is not caring about going into the white side of society, and she stays on the black side of society, and she's happy with it, or so we think. Yeah, and so she talks about Claire, and the letter talks about how, you know, she misses this other side of her life that she left behind, and the husband thinks, like, she's talking about, you know, being black, but I think Irene is reading it as she misses this side of like her sexuality. So I don't know. It was interesting reading it in that multifaceted way.
Yeah, and like I think Rebecca Hall understood the assignment, because in a lot of interviews she was like, no, I wanted the queerness to be there. Like, she's like, I read it that way, I needed it to be made that way. And also making it in black and white, she's like, no, I see the queerness and we need to have it in black and white. And there is some controversy, of course, of having Ruth Negga and Tessa Thompson be black women that pass as white. And her reasoning behind it, she is a white woman. And her own history with passing, we'll get to as well. Rebecca Hall has a history with it. But her reasoning behind getting Tessa Thompson and Ruth Negga, both very well-known black actresses, is because she said that, you know, white people would be too dumb to know the difference. And I was like, actually, you're right. Yeah, so she chose both of those characters for that reason. And I actually agree with that. Like, white people are a little probably dumb. And they had that, you know, one drop rule. But there was a lot of controversy because most people were like, they can't pass. But I don't know. I don't know how right they are. Maybe me and you and people of color can always tell. But I don't think white people can. I think the obliviousness, especially in the 1920s, was probably exactly the way it was in this movie.
Yeah,
but
I think there was like with Ruth's character, like mm-hmm. I don't know what the guy made it seem like is that maybe she'd done something to like make her seem like lighter, you know, like when they first met, and then she just kind of like stopped doing whatever that was. And then mm-hmm. after that, like, he had already accepted it, you know, that she was white.
Olive color.
She was like, to him, she was white, like, because that was the baseline that was established when they met. So now it didn't matter. And then with Tessa Thompson's character, with Irene, she always had her, like, hat on, and she would, like, would look down, mm-hmm. and she was very, like, don't look too close, you know, like, that type of vibe. I mean there's like the Meghan Markles of the world, right? Like, those are the ones that they kind of are looking for here.
Yeah, like, she could pass for sure.
Yeah,
like back then, now, whenever, because she looked Latina. I'm like, yeah.
She looked like she was Latina twice removed on her dad's side or something.
It's twice removed. Yeah, exactly. And Rebecca Hall's own history is that she basically found out her mom was like a Claire Kendry. You know, she found out her mother was passing, and it's something that her family had never even discussed, which I find strange, because I look at her mother and I go, that's a black woman.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And so, yeah, like, and she is very, very pale skinned. But when I see that woman, I see a light skinned black woman. That's what I see. So I thought that was interesting. And of course, that's why I was like, well, yeah, then of course, like, Ruth Negga and Tessa Thompson could pass if y'all thought your mom was not, you know, she wasn't like biracial. Your mom was definitely like biracial.
That's so interesting.
That is not a white woman. So I think that that's an interesting way for even, you know, Rebecca Hall to see race. And, you know, she comes from a super wealthy family, as do most filmmakers that are successful. Right? Like, she's super wealthy, and even she said that people were like, tell her that she looks different. And you know what, I will say that Rebecca Hall has a top lip. So right there, she already beat me. You know, I when I smile, my top lip go missing. Okay, so shout out to Rebecca
Sorry
Hall's
for
top
you.
Lip. No, we know, look at me, we know. But anyways, there was another specific scene I want to like bring up, because I feel like there was one white male actor who was an Alexander Skarsgård, white male character who was an Alexander Skarsgård, and he was always at the dances that Irene would throw. And there was one scene where Irene was talking to him, and there was like they like alluded to him being gay, like they alluded to both of them being gay in that moment.
Oh, I
and
missed
I felt
it
like,
when.
Yeah, there it was at the dance, the very first one, where they turned to each other and she's like, we're all passing for something or another.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. And I remember.
Yeah, that guy.
Well.
And I felt like there was like an understanding in that moment that like if you were looking, it was there. Right. Like, they both understood in that moment they both were queer. you know, and I thought that was interesting. And of course, the scene where Irene grabs Claire's hand at the dance, and I was like, hold up now, she's bold with it too. Like, she just said, I'm gonna hold your hand. And it was like the way that they looked at each other was really charged, and the way that they let go of each other's hands when like men came towards them to talk to them, like it was like they both like jerked away from each other, and I was just like, oh, this is so repressed gay. Like,
yeah, I mean, to me, it was even in like one of the final moments when Claire was like being asked like what she would do if she was found out by her husband, and she was like, well, I would do exactly what I have been dreaming of, what I've been wanting, which is to go live, you know, come back here with and you. Be with you. It's like, okay. You know, yeah, and for like a split second you just have hope.
I mean, yeah, because you didn't read the book, so you didn't know where all of this was going. But I was watching Irene, because in the book you kind of see Irene's like, I don't know if this is the right word. I'm usually use the wrong word. I don't care. You can see her like psychosis, you know, you kind of slowly see her like her mind and her ideas and her thoughts get a little more deranged as like the pages go on. And I feel like in the movie, it's really hard to show that, but they are showing it that she's starting to get this vibe that her husband and Claire are like together. But it's like, from reading the book and from reading what I think about the characters, even Andre Holland, who plays the husband, he was like, that wasn't me. I don't think this character cheated on her. And I actually have to agree. I didn't see them, because I felt like he was just happy that his wife was finally happy again. Because from my understanding of their marriage is that
he gave unicorn to me, but...
Yeah, it kind of gave like their third, but I feel like if anything, she was more into Claire than he was. Like, he was just like, whatever, if it makes you happy. Like, she was the one that was like, hey, honey, let's introduce a third. And he was like, well, whatever, you know, like, I guess. Because he seemed to be really into her, just her.
Yeah.
And then here comes this other person who makes his wife happy, and he knows that. That has to be like an awkward feeling and sensation. But I don't know. I really fucked with all of that. And in the book, when they kiss, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit more intimate.
And they don't
when
do
they
that
in the book.
They don't do that in the movie. Am I right?
Well, yeah. Well, no. The kiss is just like, it's kind of ambiguous in the book where she kissed her. Mm. Like, you don't know if she kissed her like on her neck, on the back, or if she kissed her like on the forehead. But either way, it was more intimate because they were alone. And she gave it to her, like, when she saw her, and then she started saying all this stuff to her. Because that's what I'm saying, like, in the book, in the movie, there's only, like, one letter. But in the book, there's, like, multiple letters. She won't let up. She sends, like, 4 letters. She gets rejected. She sends these, like, romantic, I've been longing for you, I miss you, I'm alive with you kind of shit. And it's just, like, really intense. And she sends multiple. It's not just, like, one letter.
Yeah.
And you can see Irene like going, trying to repress, like, why is this girl obsessed with me? And she's like, why am I obsessed with her?
So,
and she's like,
obsessed with me. See, none of that is in the movie, so that's interesting.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the book is a lot gayer because you get inside.
Because they send letters.
Irene's mind. Yeah, like, and the letters are just so gay. And I'm like, writing another woman and saying all of that is just like, come on, you like obviously want to like hold hands and make out, like that's my only conclusion. But yeah, so I love the movie. I can see the problems with casting, but at the same time I think Ruth Negga and Tessa Thompson are acting their asses off, because I feel like in real life their personalities are probably switched. You know, in real life, Ruth Negga's like, okay, I'm going to get really gay here. Ruth Negga's a Capricorn and Tessa Thompson's a Libra, but I really feel like for this movie, their personalities were switched. I feel like Capricorns repress and Libras don't. And I really feel like they're acting their asses off because those two things are just so inverted for both of them. And I thought they did amazing. And to portray like a subtle queer, like, movie about race in the 1920s and then make it like interesting and fun for me. I love this movie. I've watched it like 3 times already. I watched it in the movies, I watched it on Netflix. Like, I love this movie. I've been waiting my whole life for it, so I'm obviously biased. but I will give it like about 4.5 panduses. But if I'm going to compare it to the book, I'm going to give it like 5 panduses, because I think it's such a hard book to adapt. It's such a hard book to show in film. So for that alone, they get a 4.5, just because like it could have been a little gayer, because the book was just a little bit gayer. But just a little bit. So for that, I gave it 4.5 panduses. I'm going to be a little hard on it too, because, you know, if black people are saying, why did you,
and you're getting hard on it.
I'm grading it really hard, but I'm also taking account like the way that most black women have felt the casting was done, which I have to take a point off for that, half a point, because I'm like, I'm not a black woman. I don't understand what it's like to pass. So I'm going to take that off automatically, because the general consensus was like, no, we didn't like that. So I have to, I can't give it a perfect score. But yeah, what about you? What did you think?
I don't know what I was expecting. I'm glad that I watched it. I probably wouldn't want to watch. I mean, I guess I would watch it again. I don't know.
Tessa Thompson.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against watching it again. I think for the ending that made me mad, I'd probably have to knock off a loop there. I'd probably give it like, yeah, like a pandute, you know? Because, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe it's to do with not having read the book too. Maybe it would have hit different, you know?
It hits different when you're, like, obviously emotionally connected to the book.
Or just, you know, able to understand the context more, because I felt like I was reading in between the lines a hell of a lot. So, which is fine, which is good, you know.
No, yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, it was, like, maybe, like, you know, it wouldn't be the book it was if it was now, you know? Like, I guess you could write about it, but there's just so many things that are tied to that time period of America and that like very, very specific experience, which is like a very niche experience, but like as a gay person of color, I'm like, yeah, give me that, I love that. But yeah,
right on. Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm glad it got made.
Y'all go watch Passing. Go read the book though, because it's gayer. It's a lot gayer in the
book. Go check it out. Like,
it's on Netflix, y'all. Yeah. But I'm hyped for what you're gonna cover, because I love what you're gonna cover.
Because it's quite literally, it feels like the opposite, right? Like this is like a very modern, very today, very colorful. You know, it's the opposite of black and white. It's like every color under the rainbow.
Not much repression.
it's feels so all. Like as much as like I feel like they still pair together, I also think like they are kind of polar opposites in that way.
Yeah, they are.
Because Sebi, the main character of Sort Of, is anything but passing, right? Like Sebi is, you know, they aren't trying to and can't really hide who they are. Like they are who they are. So Sort Of is actually a Canadian series that was co-created by Bilal Beg and Fab Filippo. And it was picked up by HBO Max, like, after it was made, where all 8 short episodes are available for streaming. Literally, you can watch it in a sitting. It's, like, so short. But, yeah, Bilal.
It's a quick watch.
So quick. And great. Like, you just wish it would not end. But, yeah, Bilal is also, as well as a co-creator, they star in the show as Sebi. And they are the first South Asian queer Muslim actor to star in a Canadian Prime TV series, which just...
Okay!
But that just reminds me of that SNL skit that just came out with Bowen Yang and Simu Liu, where they're talking about being named the first Asian everything. And it's just like, you know, it gets like so minuscule in their little skit, because it's just like first Asian to do a backflip on television during the hours of 8 and 9 on ABC, you know what I mean? Like, and it just kind of like keeps going because it's such a niche, right? Like this, like Bilal is queer, South Asian, Muslim, non-binary, like all of these like identities and intersections and stuff like that. And meanwhile, the actual person is like so unconcerned with the labels. Just so unconcerned. But yeah, I just thought it just reminded me of that skit. You guys should go see it. It's really funny. But it also made me curious, like, are we the first fat, queer, lesbian Texans to host a Latinx podcast about TV and film.
Because I think we are. I know we are.
Where's our award? Just saying.
Yeah, where is it? I want our my award.
That's so funny. But yeah, sort of is a kind of like rare little gem. It's so like beautifully itself that from the very first episode, you know that you're witnessing something brilliant. Like, you just know. Sebi, who is the main character and is non-binary in real life and on the show, also South Asian and Muslim and a millennial.
Love it.
In real life and on the show. So there's a lot of similarities there. And having co-created and written and directed in some of these parts, Bilal, of course, puts a lot of themselves into it and into the character, but not their full selves. But it's just, you know, it just helps a lot with selling that this is a real person and not just like filling a quota or like trying to whatever, like do some sort of like quick representation thing. Like, this is just real, right? And it doesn't have to like try that hard, even though they did try hard. It was a very good show. Obviously it was done well.
Yeah, they tried hard, but it wasn't like, yeah,
but it's like, despite all these identities that are made evident without necessarily always voicing them like specifically with words, Sebi is like actually this kind of selfless sort of person who has sort of checked out of their life a little bit. Like, they're living, but they're also just kind of like out of it. I don't know how to explain it. Their walls are up. They're all sarcasm. They deflect 24/7, you know. They're almost there. They're about to like push out and do something for themselves and finally just kind of like start living for them. And true to their nature, like, they end up kind of sacrificing everything for this family that they work for. So it goes. That's kind of what the story's about. It's like this person who is still kind of figuring it out, you know, but you know, they're also this person who is kind of selfless in that way, and maybe that's okay. Maybe that's an okay characteristic. But to me, what was also very special about this show and the representation in the show was seeing after minutes of living in the show that Sebi was not going to be the only representation in the show. Their nuanced yes. identity was not going to be it, right? It wasn't going to be them and then nope. their five white friends. Like, it was there's also gonna be Seven, who is a queer Black woman who presents as masked but not always, and is very out loud and proud about all the people and all the genders that they can love. And that person is played by Amanda Cordner, who is also gender fluid and queer in real life. And there are also multiple other characters that come in and out of the show who are trans of different identities, who are you know, not non-binary, who are non-binary, like just of all sorts. And it's like not a big deal, and they aren't, except for one little like montage-y sequence, like pronouns aren't always like having to be introduced, right? Because that's not always real life. And then even like the family that Sebi nannies for, they're mostly Asian. Like, it, you know, the representation is not just on Sebi. And I thought that was a big part of why the show is so good. And it also made sense to me after I kind of read a little bit about Bilal's experience as an executive on the show, not just an actor, but also a creator. It kind of made sense because there was multiple consultants like that were brought in who were also trans and among the entire trans spectrum. So not only weren't they weren't all just going to Bilal and being like, what do you think of this joke? What do you think of that? What do you think of this? This is offensive. Like, no, there was four like other consultants that they could talk to for these eight little episodes, you know? So it's like, if this little show, who I highly doubt had the biggest budget in the world, like, if they can do it, like, don't fucking come at me with your Avengers bullshit and tell me that you couldn't have done it. So, just saying.
Exactly.
And then the writer's room. The writer's room had South Asian people and queer people in it. Like, it's not that hard. So, yeah, that meant that the world of representation, like, wasn't on one person's shoulders. And that's how it should be. That's just like how we should try to always do things and stop putting all the expectation and be like, oh yeah, we brought in a queer person. That's why we have 5 queer characters. They're all white. Like, no. Oh,
yeah, that part.
So I guess back to the show a little bit. So yeah, the other thing that I mean, of course, we talk a lot about like how some of the writing annoys us because sometimes like these characters are always portrayed as like within their suffering, within dealing with their identity, within coming to terms, like that they're the kind of characters that like they're always within those shackles. And while Sabi and Seven were not necessarily within those shackles, like they definitely had so many moments of freedom, so many moments of being themselves, and that was like how they're introduced to us. They also, you know, they're not free of that, right? Because in reality, like, we all have to deal with some shit some fucking times because of who we are. Like, being queer isn't always fine and dandy, even though sometimes it is, but most of the time it's not. Like, so Sabi, we see living in a very comfortable place most of the time, but when their mom comes around, it's kind of a different story. Not only they're like, I mean, you know, children of immigrants, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they know.
Yeah, they start downplaying their wardrobe, and we find out that Sabi hasn't told her mom what they do for a living, right, as a nanny. Just incredible child of immigrant representation right there. Always got to avoid disappointing mom. That's just scary.
Yeah, it's terrifying. You don't want to do it.
But then the story is also not as simple as mom bad, Sabi good. Like, the mom is trying in her own way, and we see afterwards like the restrictions that she's had to live under herself. You know, later in the story we get many sides of it. We find out people are complicated, right? Even people that we start to get annoyed by, we then find out more about them. So like, there's even a moment in the show where she's trying to understand like gender identity, and they even mention how India has like a recognized third gender that has been recognized for a really long time. I think like since forever, right? Like, so it's not completely new to her. Like, mm-hmm. You know, this has been around, this concept of like there not being just a gender binary boy and girl. Mm-hmm. So that was really nice. And yeah, I mean, I know you haven't seen all of it, but you've seen a lot of it. What did you think of the show?
Oh my god, I love the show. It's like you were saying, it's not diversity for diversity's sake. Like, there's like a lived, real experience that like Bilal is showing us, and it's so nuanced, and I feel like it's such a hard thing to do, but they do it with so much grace. And like you said, like they're not trying hard, because it doesn't come unnatural to the people working on the actual thing, right? They have the right people making this show, and there's just so much like heart in it. There's so many like trans, gender nonconforming, like I just see like queer people all over the place and just living their lives, being happy, and I'm just like, what? This has been possible? But you know, it does take someone to have to star, write, direct, do all of that. You know, they have to Issa Rae it before we can get like a real, like, honest, I feel like, really well-told story. Like, I'm not even finished with it and I'm obsessed. Like, I love Bilal's character. I love all the characters in this. Like, I think everyone's as complicated as they come, and I think it is possible to live in a world where you're not surrounded by white people, you know, like, where white people are there, but like,
yeah,
it's diverse, like real life,
right? It makes sense to me. Like, whenever I see these characters on the screen where it's like a bunch of white straight people and then like one really diverse person, it's like that one really diverse person or whatever with all these like multi like identities would not be this friend group. They would have their own friend group of people that were like them or also like nuanced in identity, like, which is exactly what this is. Because Bilal in person is like, hey, like, my world does look like this. This is not unrealistic. This is actually very realistic. I'm not going to surround myself with a bunch of people who I don't understand and don't understand me. So
yep. ooh, okay, say that. And then I love how self-aware the story is, you know, like everyone's telling Bilal, like, you don't know who, what you're doing, why are you taking care of these white people, this white man's kids, you know? And like the white man jokes, the making fun of yeah. white people thing, it's just like very self-aware. And I'm just
the,
like
the, I think the mom, is it the mom that, no, it's, I think it's Seven who's like, oh, did Master tell you to go take yes. care of the kids, like what?
No, like even the mom was like, are you a servant to the children? And I was like, oh my god,
yeah, a servant damn. To this white man. I'm sorry yeah. to this white man. This is kind of slightly spoilery, but I haven't mentioned the white male characters pretty much at all, but now I will.
Okay, yeah, so, at the end, as they should. Yeah,
so this will be slightly spoilery, but honestly not in any important way. This is like very light spoilery. So there was two moments in particular with two of the out of the very few white cis characters in this show that resonated with me. And the first moment mm-hmm. was in the first scene of the entire series, where Sabi's out on a date and it's their partner's birthday. They get him some concert tickets to Post Malone, which is hilarious.
Good seats, yeah. by the way.
Which, but their partner, whose name I can't remember, is upset because, and he's like, oh, you don't see me. Like, this cisgender, white, straight passing dude is like, no. I'm not seen. You don't see me because they got him concert tickets and like a birthday cake. Like, I don't know. It was pretty silly. But yeah, this man we see a couple more times in the show. And he's just like this man who's always crying and he's always emotional and he's just struggling with his sexuality. But he's also like, I don't know, like you're also like, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean?
He's so annoying.
So when I first saw that moment where I'm just like, this is the kind of thing that I think other people or like non like trans people, you know, like or a white man like would have written that line exactly. But for Sabi's character, which Sabi was like, no,
we're gonna turn that around, it's gonna be the white man that's like, misunderstood.
This is no, I don't worry about seeing me. But the other one is Paul. So Paul is the dad of the family that Sabi nannies for, and in the first episode he tells Sabi that you know, do you need help finding like another family to nanny for? Because, you know, it might be hard for them to find a new family to work for because of how they are, you know? And you immediately are like, wow, like they've been working for working for this person mm-hmm. for how long? And he really just said that, right? Which, you know, we can only take it in one way. But later in that episode, after getting to know Sebi a little more, Paul clarifies that when he said that, he meant they would have trouble because they're so closed off to people. And you've had the time in the show to see that Sebi is like very walls up, very closed off, like doesn't trust anyone, right? Very like protected in their own like mind and emotionally and stuff like that. And it's like, this isn't about you being non-binary, it's about who you are as a person. And in that moment, I was just kind of like, as much as Paul is a whiny little shit, he sees Sebi, you know? That Sebi is, like, just pretending to be there half the time, you know? So, as the season 18 Bachelorette likes to say, it's all about the little moments, you know?
It's all about the little moments, no!
Is anybody else watching?
No.
Just me? Okay.
Just you. Oh man.
Yeah, so it's just these little moments where that really impressed me, that had me saying like, wow, like it's not the magical queer brown person coming to save the white cis person, it's the white cis person coming in
yes.
for 5 seconds to say their piece, you know? So
yeah, I'm excited.
This is quite a show.
I'm on episode 5.
Very impressive show. I've watched it through twice now and I'm obsessed with it. Shout out to so Brandon. He is an actor. I'm trying to remember his last name, but Brandon is he makes a cameo on Functional season 2, so you guys should watch for him too. And he's the one that posted on like his Instagram, and I saw and I was like, yeah, I'll watch this show, and then it was amazing. So thanks, Brandon.
Shout out, Brandon.
Damn. But yeah, I love this show. Like, no, like, nothing to be taken off of points. Like, zero cafecitos. Best show I've seen in a really long time. The writing was impeccable. I would recommend this to my mother, and she'd be like, I don't watch TV, you know? So that'd be great.
Yeah, I give this 5 pandulces. Like, that's how much I like it. Like, it's perfect.
It's a perfect show. It's hard to find a perfect show, but this is it.
It's there. It exists, and it's right there. I'm just like, oh my God. Like, I don't know. It just really speaks. It speaks to me, obviously. It makes me feel seen. Yeah, it makes me feel seen. Like, oh my God. You see me. You see me.
You don't see me. You don't see me. You got me to Post Malone tickets.
You got me floor seats to Post Malone.
Wow. Why? I told you I didn't want anything for my birthday.
Oh my God. I would have just snatched up the tickets. I would have been like, thanks. We are going.
Thank you.
Or sell them. Something. That could pay Malone's rent.
I would have gone, honestly.
Zebby's rent.
Post Malone's kind of funny.
I don't look anywhere where I got floor seats. I'm going. I don't care what show it is. Yes, I do. But like, as long as it's not like Drake.
Me, I'll go. When I got invited to go to the Clippers the other day.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Those were really good seats.
So random too. Yeah, dude. Fucking Naomi Osaka was like just down the way. I was
wait
dying.
What?
Yeah,
you were Naomi near Osaka was royalty.
Wow. Royalty, dude.
Congrats. Yeah. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Your moment. You so live.
I'm living, laughing, loving.
Yeah, living, laughing, loving.
Live, laugh, love. Yeah. So yeah, go watch both of these. Like, it's been a while, as you guys can tell. We haven't fucking posted since like Halloween. Since we've had things to cover, and like these two things kind of blew us out of the water. So
yeah, those were
check it out.
Yeah, go watch these things and
check it out.
It's Canadian. A boot.
Like I thought the main character's name was Sebi, but it's actually Sabi. But they're Canadian, so they pronounce it Sebi.
Oh, Sebi, but it's Sabi.
It's Sabi. But like, ooh, they don't say bag; they say beg. Bag, you know.
Get your big. Your big.
Go get your bag. Don't forget your big.
Don't forget your big.
Hey, no offense to all Canadians. Okay, bye.
Bye.
but yeah, seriously though, such a good show.
Yeah. So go watch it, you guys. Do we have any announcements? Anything to end off on? You're like, I don't know.
Leave a review. No, but really, like, even when we don't post on our regular feed, we are keeping up with our Patreon, posting at least once a month.
We are.
Most of the time.
We're pretty goofy on there. We're pretty, like, you know.
A lot more loosey-goosey.
We're loosey-goosey on that
A little
one.
More, like, the first chunk of our podcast episodes, like, the banter part, it's pretty much just all that.
Yeah. Like, we really get into it. We get to just, like, geek out on anything.
Yeah, we talked about, like, all the Apple TV shows, Dickinson, and The Morning Show, and Acapulco, like, in more detail on those episodes, as well as a bunch of other, like, random gay shit.
Literally just anything that's gay, we'll talk about it.
Literally on just, I think I talked about, like, Bachelor Australia for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, and it's compelling. It's compelling stuff. Yeah, like,
it's good stuff. So, patreon.com/CYC podcast, and our rates are pretty low. To have access to probably like 3 years worth of episodes now, a bunch of really cool extra content, so go check it out. And of course, if you don't want to financially support us, totally fine, because you can leave us a free review on iTunes. That helps us a lot. And you can also follow us at CYC Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. You can also buy our merch, since, you know, Christmas is coming up for those of you who celebrate. And that's our Teespring, and the link is in our description and in our bio and our website, cabronesychingonas.com. Yeah, and then send us like any stuff that you've been watching so we can check it out, because we want to post more episodes. We just don't want to post an episode about things that we're not that passionate about, you know? And this we're passionate about, so.
Yeah, we're into this. So if you can send us something and we're into it, we will talk about it. If not, maybe we'll talk about it on a Patreon and tell you how much we hated it. I don't know.
maybe not.
No, we won't trash your
probably
your
won't trash much. Yeah,
we like, I like a lot of garbage, y'all, so I ain't judging y'all. I watch
Bachelorette,
almost
baby.
Anything. Yeah,
just the Bachelor's coming soon.
Oh lord. Oh lord. Anyways, you can follow me at Fried Papito on Twitter. I unlocked my account again. I guess I won't look for a job.
I'm MYTE Panda on Instagram and Twitter. That's MYTE Panda. And then I also have a TikTok, but like, you know, that's for the deep cuts only. Like deep you cuts. Have to like stick around.
Yeah, maybe we'll to that. Well, you know, behind a Patreon episode.
Maybe I'll do a Patreon TikTok. I don't know.
Ah, that would be interesting.
probably not. But yeah. Thanks for listening. Listen to us on Spotify so we can end up on your rap next year.
Yes.
All right.
We love y'all. Bye.